Oh, so I took over the post office, and I thought it was just temporarily, you know. And I thought, nobody to relieve me. So I just start hanging on, start keeping the job. And then they wanted to give me my commission on October. But instead of splitting the quarters, they wanted to do it at the end of a quarter and at the beginning of a new quarter. Otherwise, if it was in between the quarters, I would have to sign myself out as an officer in charge. And I would have to make a report as officer in charge. And then the next day, I would have to take over as a postmaster. That was the reason, one reason I had to wait 2 or 3 months before I got my commission.
What's the difference between the two?
Officer in charge and the postmaster. Two different titles, I believe. That's the only difference. So I would have to sign myself out as an officer in charge, and then sign everything back to myself as postmaster, I guess, besides making a split report. So I got my commission in 1956 from Postmaster Summerfield. And I believe I lost my paper, which I cherish, in the flood. Also had some kind of, just like an awards letter from, signed by President Kennedy for being the Selective Service registrant free of charge to the government. I lost that in the big flood too. So where does that bring us? Oh. Okay.
Well, what was it? Was it any different than
postmaster? Yes. Up until 4 years ago or 5 years ago, maybe, I never got any support from the government. By support, I mean they didn't supply you with anything except stamps. Money orders. Whenever you used to have any money order machine or anything like that. Because we were fourth class and we have to supply all the other little things like mailboxes, your own adding machine, everything else you need to work with, you had to. We had to provide it, and I believe I started with $98 every 2 weeks, and I used to pay myself, and we used to get 1.5 cents for each money order we issued in those days. So in a quarter, maybe you would pay yourself between $5 and $6 for issuing money orders, which we didn't make very many money orders in those days too, because there was less money, and the stores carried more money. They brought in money, you know, from the bank. Remember, we used to get registers all the time, so the money would circulate, you know, but now the stores don't bring in any cash, so it's just money order exchange. Okay, and I said I used to pay myself. The second week, every other week, you know, around Wednesday, I have to start holding money back. So there'll be $100 or something like that in the cash box for Friday when you make your weekend report. It would be enough money in the post office to pay yourself. I forgot how many years it was like that. Anyway, after that, it changed to where you were getting automatic pay every 2 weeks. You'd get a check every 2 weeks from San Francisco, I believe it was. Then, I believe 4 or 5 years ago, it became a third class. We were doing more business, and the business is graded by money orders and stamps that you sell. Money order fees and stamps. Not the whole money order itself, you know, it's just a fee. A $400 money order, the fee is $1.10. So only $1.10 would count, not the $400. And then the stamps, 15 cents, 20 cents, whatever, you know, envelopes, that counts towards your pay. So that's how you're rated. By the more stamps and the more money order fees, you advance in class. So we're a third class now, and so we get recognized by the post office. We get support now from the post office. I have their adding machine. I could have a telephone too, they told me. I never did ask for one. Of course, they have to supply a money order machine, you know. Oh, and then I was allowed a clerk for a couple years, I think, 2 or 3 years. And then they took away clerk hours from all the post offices. So I lost my clerk. She can work with pay is when I'm on leave, like this summer. I used up all my leave. They get 15 days military leave plus 30 days annual leave. I used all that. Oh, and I can get jury duty leave too, which is not counted against me. And training or postmaster's convention, we get 10 days. So I ran out of leave and I wanted to go firefighting in August. I called up the boss and I told him I want leave without pay. I never had leave without pay for 30 years, over 30 years. He asked me what I was going to do, and I told him I was going to go emergency firefighting. How long? I told him I don't know. 3 or 4 days a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe the most is 21 days. You can come home after 21 days. He said, okay, be careful, don't get hurt. You're covered. I told him, yes, I have a clerk. Is there someone to replace her in case of emergency or something? Oh yes, I have 2-3 members of my family that can take care of the place. Okay, go. So I went out firefighting. I needed the money. And then I thought to myself too that my clerk can make money too, you know, extra income for her. Sometimes I get any help when I go to my clerk, you know. I have to pay her out of my pocket, but, you know. Because the post office took away all our clerk hours. I think they're trying to get some back now. I hope they do.
People are a lot more
sending out
mail than when you first
started. Oh yes, much more. And a lot of money order. There's a lot of money in town. A lot of people work this year. I think we're averaging about 10,000 a week. A week. Anywhere from 10,000 to 20,000. Money orders. Because a lot of people are working. Youth core, people working on the hall, under Sita. We have women cutting grass around town. We have city workers. Now the school. And then a lot of firefighting this summer. I just cash their checks, more or less. Right. Of course, my boss don't like the idea. And a lot of times he tell me not to cash checks. We take checks for purpose of cashing it, because we're not a bank. But what can we do? I'm responsible. If there's anything missing, if a check is no good, I'm the one that's going to pay for it, end up paying for it. And I hope I can collect from the person that gave it to me, you know. So I honor all the state checks and government checks, even personal checks, some people that I know. I've had a few checks bounce on me, but it was all made good later, you know, didn't have to wait too long. So, and then, now, oh yes, they come to the post office with a money order to make another money order. I deduct it, and I give them money order for the balance. So it is checks and money orders exchange. Hardly no cash flowing around. Okay, now in the post office, they took our cash books away. We used to have cash books, and we had to make quarterly report every quarter. They took it away about a year ago, and we went into different kind of accounting, which is more simple. I didn't like it at the start too, but now I like it. And they're trying to get the cash books back now. The postmaster, some of the postmasters. I didn't go to the postmaster's convention this year. I forgot for what reason. I just didn't want to. You don't have to go. You have to pay your own way, room and board, everything, when you're going to postmaster's convention. So I didn't go. So I don't know how it went. They were supposed to vote on it, whether we would get it back or whether we would still do the new way. We just have one form, what they call 1412C. And we balance the day's business every day and deposit. And then at the end of the week, at the end of the week, you cross balance and you make a weekly report, and you send all the supporting documents, money order vouchers, tape of every money order issued, and the totals of every day, the deposit slips, and maybe another form if you made too much money orders, which is 1846. There's every Friday we send in about 4 or 5 items all in one envelope. Most time it's 4. And so every Friday, just like you make a quarterly report, you know, which is easy. And Monday morning you start with 0. It's much easier. We have to order stamps a certain time. We have a schedule. Of course, we could order emergency. We order stamps maybe about every 4 or 5 weeks. And you can order money orders too at that time. You order them by the hundreds, you know. 100, 200, 300, 400. Last 2 times I've been ordering 1,000. We order supplies 4 times a year. October, January, April, June, I believe. Anyway, it's 4 times a year we're supposed to order supplies. And a lot of times I order in between. They don't get mad at you, only the clerk gets mad at you because she has to order too. She has to consolidate the orders, and, you know, put in a big order for all the little offices. So it'll hurt someone else if you don't put your order in at the right time, you know. Otherwise, she has to guess. Well, Nulala didn't order, and he uses 20 forms, 14, 12-3. He didn't order, so I'll just order 20 extra ones, maybe, you know. And then we have to send in our time cards, which we never used to do when I was a fourth class postmaster. I used to just get my check automatically. No paperwork. Now I have to send in a time card every Tuesday or Wednesday. First we used to send time card once every 2 weeks. And then they changed it again now. We have to send a time card every week. I don't see the advantage of it. Yeah. To me, it's like it's more paperwork. But there must be a reason. So we send in time card for week 1 and time card for week 2. And then you get paid at the end of week 2. 40 hours a week. My hours is 8 to 4. I work during noon hour too, as you might have saw this afternoon. So I get off 1 hour earlier. I get off at 4 instead of 5. And it's still daylight. I can, you know, go across the river or do whatever I want to do.
I noticed that you've got several different kinds of operations going on here along with the post office. What are those and when did you get started in that?
Okay. How about if we finish post office first, and then we'll remind me of that thing, of those other things again. Okay. Going back to the time card, we have to send it in every Tuesday or Wednesday. Rose. Every Tuesday or Wednesday. So we'll get down to postal data center, which moved also to Santa Mateo. So we'll get down there by Friday, every Friday. So we send in our time cards 3 or 4 days ahead of time. to allow for the, you know, connections. They just take it for granted. Well, you said you were going to work 8 hours on Friday. They trust that you're going to work 8 hours, you know. Otherwise, there wouldn't be no other way to do it, you know. Otherwise, you would have to wait. Maybe you would be one payday behind if you send in your time card on a Friday of a week instead of Monday or Tuesday, you know. So,
Yes.
I went to a lot during my last. I went to Juneau. I brought my wife along with me. We went to Anchorage, Fairbanks, Ketchikan. I believe that was the only places we went to Postmasters Convention. Between Fairbanks and Anchorage, I went a lot.
Do you see, talk to a lot of other postmasters?
Oh, yes.
You talk about different problems.
Mm-hmm. 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 And it's very interesting. They have more problems than I do, the way it's with their people and everything. It's amazing. Sometimes I... any little things that maybe you can figure out, you know, your own self, they bring up.
Well, do you like being a postmaster now?
I think about retirement because it's coming pretty close. I'll wonder a lot of times what I would do, you know. Maybe I would go crazy, I don't know, with nothing to do all day long. It's interesting, especially this summer, keeping me busy with making a lot of money orders. And in the morning, I'm doing 2-3 things at the same time, you know. I'm trying to dispatch mail and making money orders, which is mostly cashing checks, selling CODs, things like that. So I'm very busy, and I don't try to have anybody wait and tell them, well, I want to get the outgoing mail. Can you wait at least 10 minutes? I know if I tell them, you know, they wouldn't mind. But I always like to try to watch the time, and I don't want my mail to miss the mail plane too, because you can scratch that nut off too. I'm working with a, I don't know how you'd say it. Maybe a strict mail carrier, or no patience. You wouldn't. He wouldn't wait 5 minutes for me. If I don't have the mail ready, he don't have patience to wait 2-3 minutes. Most of the time after 9 o'clock, the mail is all laid out, the sacks are made, I make out the mail bill and everything. But it'll take me 2-3 minutes to put all the letters in the different pouches and lock it. He wouldn't wait 5 minutes for me. I was waiting on a person, and he walked out. I know he came for the mail, and he came by an hour after. So I don't want my mail to miss, you know, to miss the mail plane on any day.
How often is the mail going?
The mail goes out once a day. Between 9:30 and 10 o'clock. We have the evening flight too, which is about anywhere from 3:30 to 5:30, but I never dispatch mail in the evening, simply for a reason that if I dispatch mail in the afternoon, it would wait till the next afternoon. So it's just more work on me. It doesn't do me any, there's no advantage to the mail, you know. Because the mail that I dispatch in the morning to Galena gets out of Galena in the afternoon around 3:30. There's no advantage in dispatching mail twice. When I started liking it, maybe after 3 or 4 years, I get disappointed with it a lot of times, even now, like the other night. I like to play cards too, I like to gamble, low ball. And they were playing up there, you know, the other night. And I had to quit. Well, because I have to get up about 6:45, and I have to work at 8. A lot of times, I don't like to be the postmaster, all right, but there's no choice. If I wasn't the postmaster, I would have to do something else for a living, you know. I don't spend more time in hunting and fishing, maybe. And if I'm not too old, I'll try to find another job, you know, because I could retire after 55 years old, which is 8 more years, still no more time. I could retire at 55 with full option, because I would have worked for the government about 40 years.
What is full option?
That means if you, according to the last 3 years of your pay, if you're supposed to get $800 a month, say this number, you would get $800 a month after at 55. I could retire now, but say if I was supposed to get $800, being 47 years old, they say, well, you're too young, so we'll give you 75%, maybe. So I would get maybe $400 or $500, because it would run over a longer period, you know. So you could get full option after 30 years at 55. I have another retirement too. I have a retirement coming from the National Guard. The state would retire us at $50 a month, which isn't very much, but which is something. $50 a month for as many months as you've been in the National Guard and the Army. After you're 55 years old, after you put in 20, and then you get another one from the federal government after you're 60. So you get 2 retirement checks being in National Guard. Any what? No, there was no retirement in those days. There was no jobs around here for retirement. Going back to the time cards again, I never finished, right? Yeah. Okay. Oh, anyway, now I could forgot now. About 530 every 2 weeks, which is a lot more than I started. 98. Of course, things are much higher. And I left gambling, I told you. And I had a few bonds. I lost 500 in Glina one weekend. So I cashed the bonds to pay my bill. So I increased my allotment and payroll to pay myself back for the bonds I lost. And I'm glad I did. Now, I have quite a few. I don't need to talk about it, but I have quite a few $100 bonds. It's deducted from my check, and I don't miss it. And then I get $64 every 2 weeks deducted from my pay to pay for the truck.
You mentioned gambling.
No, well.
Do many people play
in town? Quite a few. Mm-hmm. But you still call it lowball. In the same card game, you play deuces wild, high and low split, lowball, ace king. Spit in the ocean. And three or four. We don't have games. We don't have games very much. Now, this was the first time we played lowball for. Here in town, for maybe 3-4 months. We play pan every night. Same group of people always come to play pan. Even trying to entertain ourselves, the older people, by playing pan every night. It takes 9 people for a game, you know. But you can play 3 or 4, but not more than 9 or 10 sometimes. Not much money is involved. The other night when there was a lot of people from different villages, and with the firefighting and everything, there was a lot of money. And the bets were pretty high. There were some bets I heard of $50, which is a lot of money for around here. I played that night for a while. I won $184 in a couple of hours, maybe. And the game that time lasted for, I think it lasted 16 hours the other day.
One game?
Mm-hmm. The same game, the same sitting.
What's a typical lowball gambling day like?
Usually now it's during death there's a lot of gambling, because a lot of people come, you know, from other villages with money. And during stick dance there's a lot of people too, and some people have a lot of money, you know. That's about only 2 times. Weddings, not very much gambling, because when you have a wedding, people will come from the nearby villages on the wedding day, you know. And then wedding evening, they have a dance and reception. Next day, everybody go home, you know. So there's a lot of gambling. Most of the time, during death, someone dies.
Are there certain people who are known as being really good gamblers?
Yeah. I'm one of them. But it doesn't make any difference how you know about the game. It's just luck, you know. Boy, once in Fairbanks, I had lost $900. That's the first. And last time, I hope I got in a big game, $200 sitting. You have to put $200 on the table to get into the game. Here we play $5. So I lost $900. Two swing was with me. I got so mad. I had only a joker. I drew four cards. And I made a 64. Only one hand can beat you, which is a 54. 64 is the next best hand. I won the pot. And I didn't have enough to bet all the way. Anyway, the part I won, stacked it up, it was $1,080 in one pot. So that made me even. And just to show how cards run, just a few hands after that, I was going with 1, 2, 3, 4, one card draw. I'm the last man to bet. The first man to bet after the draw, he bets $1,000 to look. This other guy calls him. I'm sitting there, last man to bet, and going with the best cards. I look at my card. I catch another 4, which is no good. You cannot have pairs in a low ball. And just a few hands before that, I draw 4 cards and I make a 64. So you see how the cards run. This guy bet $1,000 with an 8. This guy called him with a 9, which is high hand, you know, in low ball. No matter how good of a player you are, or how good of you might know the game, you just take luck. Like the other night, I won $184 in a couple hours, maybe 3 hours. Last night, I was playing in a smaller game, and the bets was much smaller. There wasn't no more than $3 a few times, and I lost 40. One night you win, the next night you lose.
What do you like about gambling?
Winning. I like to win. It's only that I get enjoyment. Oh, the first time I start seeing gambling, it was in my army days. I used to see them gambling in different part of the building. I didn't know nothing about gambling. I see them playing low ball. I hear them saying low ball. One corner of the building, another building, they're playing 4, 5, 6. I see them throwing dice. Another place, they're playing another game they call blackjack. Another place, they're playing another game again. I see them betting $10, $20. I see them throwing their dice, and I hear them, he's away. And then somebody grabbed the money. I used to stand at them and look at them. I said, how do they enjoy themselves? Betting $20 and rolling the dice and racing away. I didn't see how the heck they could enjoy themselves. That's not for me. I used to say, dress up, slick up, go downtown. Here I end up being one of the worst ones. Love to gamble. There's Andrew Johnson, too, like to gamble. Tassie, Old Man Dennis.
Love to gamble. Are there other things in life that are a gamble?
In what way? I didn't understand your question.
mean, like, what else is there that's like gambling? Is there anything else that's like gambling? Mm-hmm.
No, I think so.
You know, let's see, we finished talking about post office, and we're going to talk about other sorts of business things that you got started. Just to wonder what those are.
We run cab service too, besides being the postmaster. We work for Glena Air Service. We have communication with Glena. We have two radios. At one time we had about three or four radios, all supplied by Glena Air Service. When people come, you know, we call for planes. Glena Air Service give us a percent, which isn't very much, for the people that we call plane for. That helps helps a little, and after we got involved with that, he tried to get me to, you know, to start a cab service. So went to the police and I got one of those Alaska State Drivers Testing Book or something like that, you call it. And I studied upon it. I was driving before that. You will notice back there, if you're back to the bridge, there's a old truck yard back there. I own almost all of it. I used to own most of it, I mean. So I thought of it for a while, running cab, because people were bothering us for transportation. So he told me to try to start a cab service and get a license and do it legally, where you wouldn't have to be scared, you know, business. So I studied this